Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt.
Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso Steuer.
Hi everybody, welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Can you believe it? We're here. I have some huge news for all of you. I'm sure that you guys are going to be so thrilled to hear about this.
Can I try and guess it? I love trying to guess things.
Yes, please, go.
The work is finally finished on your house.
No.
The apprentice has finished.
No.
You're having another baby inexplicably.
God, no.
No.
Okay. The SSD that my Windows install was on failed.
Mm-hmm.
Completely failed. I came into the garage the other day to turn on my computer, turned it on. It's just stuck at like the motherboard logo screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right before the BIOS.
Oh, wow.
Couldn't even get into the BIOS see what was going on and stuff. It was just completely frozen at that point. There's an error code on my motherboard. So I looked it up and it's an error code that suggests there's no boot device available or can't find a boot device.
Yeah.
So I was like, shit. So I unhooked the drive that the computer boots onto and I was able to get into the BIOS and stuff. So this SSD just completely failed and was making it hard for me to get into my computer. So I had to buy a new one. And I had to get a USB stick with a Windows install thing on it. So I'm on fucking stupid ass Windows 11 now.
Oh, man.
I know. I'm missing 10 big time, but...
What is it like, 11?
It's How just different like, is it? It's just like fluffy looking, you know? It's all like, I don't know. Like it kind of looks like you're on a tablet a bit, but it's, the taskbar is all weird and the sounds are all bloopy and different. There's not so many dings now. It's more like bloops.
Oh,
bloops and bloops, you know?
It's always been the way.
Needless to say, fucking pissed
people
off.
People think we're living in the future, but this is exactly what happened when it went from Windows whatever the fuck to Windows the fuck.
Yeah.
We wouldn't upgrade from 95 for ages. You know,
I know.
2000 whatever.
Let's look at what was on offer after 95. Windows 98, which was shitty, and then Windows ME, which was fucking shitty.
Whoa. What about XP?
As well. XP was great.
Yeah.
XP was fine, but it came after all those. Yeah.
Did it? I thought XP was in the 90s.
Very much some skippable
2001
Windows flavors. Yeah. XP was fine.
My dad still uses XP.
I think a lot of people do. I think XP is
a solid.
Yeah.
Pretty
solid
sure
Windows.
It's used by like quite a few banks and stuff still too. Like it is a pretty solid.
It's just
version
a dependable boy. It's a dependable boy.
That's right.
I don't want to upgrade either. I'm not ready.
No.
I'm not ready to experience the power of Windows 11.
No.
Or whatever the fuck.
And all the blooping, just bloops. Just like really weird bloop. Yeah.
Oh God.
So yeah, so there we go. So it's back up and running, but I've had to reinstall Audacity and some other tools and I had to get my stream set up going again and everything. But I'm there with it. It's fine.
Wow.
I've been back online. Better than ever, I want to say. I don't want to jinx it, but I haven't had any weird crashes or anything. So I guess a lot of my problems were that drive was just in the midst of failing over kind of a period of a month or so. And then just finally gave up its fight. But I had to go to town and like talk to somebody and stuff. Like, it was awful.
I know.
I had to buy a thing and it's kind of nice going into a computer store and just saying like exactly what's happened and exactly what you need. Like there wasn't any sort of like, beating around the bush with it, you know?
Right.
Like there's a woman in there behind me who's bringing in a laptop from a deceased relative. And she's like,
oh my God.
I need to get this computer up and running again. And I need you to wipe it and make it functional again. I think it's a new computer. I have another computer at home. And I was like, oh man, she's gonna be here all day. Like, yeah. Cannot do this. You have to come in here and be like, yeah, my 5392-1 failed, and I'm gonna need to recombobulate the dilithium crystal activator, and you know what to do, Sam. Just get me the stuff and I'll be on my way. You know, like, I was quick. I was in there like 5 seconds.
Here's the problem. Here's how I want it fixed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So
you bought a 1 terabyte SSD and a Windows boot drive.
I did. Yeah. How'd you know it was 1 terabyte?
Your side can read your brain.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. What am I thinking about right now?
Keira Knightley.
Yes.
In the movie.
With a strap
the
on.
Hole.
Really fucking me. It's nice anyway. So that's my big, you got lose news. I occasionally have some news of my own.
Sips quips.
Like sips quips. There you go. That's my really uninteresting story of probably the next like month or so.
Dang.
Until
something
else happens.
Well, I've got two articles of interest to open with today. Number one, Mrs. F has gone to Japan for 2 weeks with work.
What?
She just
what
had.
The heck?
We found out. Let me think. What is it today? Thursday? So I think Monday she came home and she said, I might need to go to Japan on Wednesday, like morning, earliest flight. And I was like, damn. So she basically packed and then she was gone. Like, so that's it. She's gone for 2 weeks.
Gosh. Lucky her.
Yeah.
A few other of my friends are in Japan right now. Dan, Sophie.
Right.
Party game. They're in Japan.
Are you implying
doing stuff?
That Mrs. F should meet up with them?
No, maybe they're having an affair.
Oh, she's having an affair with RT.
Hiro Miyamoto.
With Shigeru. Yeah, she's gone to see the Switch 2 launch.
Look, I'm not being funny, but whatever.
She's
fair
trying to, she's trying to bargain them down from those high-ass prices. Everybody's like so pissed off. Like $499 for a Switch. Interestingly,
it's like 90 bucks for Mario Kart or something insane. Fuck.
Yeah, well, it's going to be even more though, because I think ahead of all this like tariff stuff, they thought, all right, we're just going to get these all manufactured in Vietnam, and they announced the Liberation Day tariffs yesterday, and I think Vietnam's got like a 50% tariff or something on it, so I think those Switches are going to cost.
It's because. Yeah, because apparently Trump thinks that
it's going to cost a lot of money, but it's not going to cost us a penny. These other countries are going to pay it off.
It's going to be a little bit of short-term pain, but in the long term, we're going to make America wealthy again.
God, it's just whatever. I don't even want to think about
it. We don't need their Switch. We're going to make our own Switch. We got the light Switch. We got the original Switch.
Yeah, I wish they would
Thomas
just...
Edison, when he built the light Switch, he said, we don't need no light Switches from China.
I wish they would save some winning for everyone else. Like, they're just hogging up all the winning, and we need a little tiny bit of winning ourselves, but we can't even find any. We're scrounging around for crumbs here. It's,
I know.
Sucks.
It's the charging 50% on all winning as well. They get a 50% tariff on winning.
Oh my God, they're going to be so wealthy. It's insane.
That's true. They do, don't they? Yeah. They already.
So here, by the way,
here's
my second thing that I thought this was really funny. Oh shit, I didn't take my meds today. Hold on.
I thought I was me neither.
A bit edgy. Hold on.
I'm off on one. I'm fucking crazy. I'm going crazy.
Dude, you are terrible. You need one of them old.
I haven't. It hasn't gone off yet. All right.
Have you got one of those day of the week container things with all your pills?
Yes,
in?
That's what he needs.
No, I have an alarm on my phone that says, take your pill, you idiot.
That's not very helpful. So, that's like, I ignore
take
those.
Your pills.
All alarms.
So, Stuart Pearce. One time, England captain, left back. He played left back, not right. Left back in the dressing
Do you know
room.
Who you're talking
he
was a left to?
Back. Yeah, I just want to tell you that this is why this is important. Okay, he's famously hard man. His nickname was Psycho. All right, he was manager of, I think, was he manager of Forest or Man City briefly? He was like an emergency caretaker manager, and he picked too many players on his team sheet. He had 11 outfield players. He forgot about the goalie. His wife had to point out to him, Stuart, what about the goalie? He was like, oh my God, I've picked 11 players. I haven't picked a goalie. You know, so he's not the brightest lad. He's on a flight from Vegas to London and he fell ill. All right. Now, I found this very interesting because they're describing this. This is on the ESPN website. It says here that passengers on the plane, it was diverted to St. John's, Canada. He was hospitalized. And in an interview with The Times, he detailed the incident. Pierce said his heart was stopped before being restarted. My heart was racing a little bit. The medical staff on the plane were magnificent, and they made the decision after 3 hours to drop me off in St. John's in Newfoundland. The hospital staff there basically stopped my heart and restarted it again to put it back into a normal rhythm. Now, that right there is an SVT attack. And what he's talking about, basically stopped my heart and restarted it again, is the adenosine injection. So Stuart Pearce and me have something in common.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. I read it, and he's describing it as basically stopped my heart, but I know what he means. And he said, my heart is racing a little bit. So Stuart Pearce, that's what it is. It's SVT.
You could have got in there, like, onto the thread and been like, I know a thing or two about this. I'm an expert.
Hold it right there, Mr. Pearce. I'm an expert on this heart matters.
I know about all this stuff.
I'd like to have been on that flight.
Yes.
He went, oh, my heart's going to clappers here, babe. I don't know what's happening. Hold on, Mr. Pearce. I'm not a doctor, but I do have experience in this
babe,
field.
Babe, step aside, Mr. Pearce. I understand that you've not put a goalie on your starting lineup. That's probably what's upset you. You know subconsciously that your team was lacking a goalie, and your body's trying to warn you.
You know what, Lewis? Imagine that you were made England manager, right? That something terrible had happened. A mistake was made. Right. There's a big game coming up.
It's like a designated survivor situation.
Yeah,
where
you're the manager.
Everyone else has been killed somehow.
The least likely person to be England manager, they're like him. So you're the England manager. What would you do? You go into the room, right? You're the new manager. You go
the
into
room,
the
England
the dressing
room.
Room.
Go
you go
the
into the dressing
room,
and there's all the
dressing
England
room.
Players.
I don't want to go in there. It's got sweaty, naked men in it. I don't want
to
see them.
You're a football manager now. You have to. You
no,
have
no, no.
Be...
That's what the coach does.
No,
the manager.
Yes, that is the manager. That is the manager. The manager and the coach are the same thing. No, it's the same
thing. Well, I think we need to draw a line there. I don't want to be going in the dressing room as the manager.
All right, you can have a meeting room and the players will talk to you there, okay?
Okay, we'll have a separate meeting room.
You want to have like a meeting room that's got a trap door and you've got a button on your desk? You can tell everybody it's a coke button, but actually it's a trap door button.
It's like a chill meeting room with a dartboard and like, a pool table and a bar.
Right.
You know?
All right. So you're in there. The entire England team is in there waiting for you. Very famous footballers. They've played.
Get yourself a drink, lads. Get yourself, help yourself to a drink,
lads.
So
that's your opening.
At the bar.
That's your
opening.
Serve
yourself.
Grab yourself a drink, lads.
get them all nicely lubricated for the bad news that's coming their way.
So they get a drink. In you come. What's your opening here?
Listen up. Lads, this
you have
country,
to yell louder because when they're coming in, nobody comes into a dressing room quietly, or into a meeting room.
Lads,
they're coming in and they're like, slapping each other's tushies and stuff.
That's the kind of energy we need. But have a little listen to the words of a man older and perhaps a little wiser than yourselves. First off, I want to say it's been a tough old time for Britannia lately. We're in a bad state and the people are sad. We've had too many years of Tories running things and everything's gutted. Everything's run down. There's potholes in the roads.
You
could get a GP's appointment.
These guys aren't listening to this. Like, they don't want to hear
about
this.
The people of Britain need a win, right? And you are the only thing standing between total collapse of this country.
Right. Now you've got their attention.
If you don't win out there, there will be blood in the streets. Blood will be on your hands.
Well, now they're really listening.
I'm going to use
this
a lot of metaphor.
They understand this.
I love the way this meet the team speech that you've done kind of sounds like...
It's turned into his bid to run for...
the Enoch Powell Rivers of Blood speech.
Exactly. Yeah. They are the heart and soul. You are the heart and soul of England and Britain and the United Kingdom.
You're the salt of the earth.
Just England.
Just England.
You're the moon and the stars.
just England, And as a result, it's a heavy weight on your shoulders, lads, to carry. So I want you to go out there and just have the back of your mind. If we lose today, I might as well have been shooting to death a toddler in the streets of Nottingham.
Now you've really got their attention and they're mad.
Yeah.
They are frothing, man.
They're furious.
Good, good. Channel that rage. That's what I want from you.
Right.
You just
now
want
get out there.
The angriest
now get out there and be Iceland.
Oh, my God.
Be Iceland.
Oh, man. That went in directions I had no idea it would go.
Well. It's some motivational speeches. That's one of them. That is one of them. You did one. You've done one of them. Lewis, I know you're gonna do Lou's news, but have you done anything at all interesting this week in relation to how interesting mine and Flax's weeks have been? He's home alone like Kevin McAllister, and I've had computer woes.
What did I do?
What do you got, baby?
I watched Invincible. I watched all of that, which was quite good.
Pantheon. When you say you watched all of Invincible, which series?
I watched it back from the start because I'd forgotten like most.
Oh,
of
wow.
It.
So what is that? That's three seasons.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of hours.
I got a lot of problems with it.
He's got a lot.
Oh, it's also pretty good.
He's got
it's
a lot.
Not,
of free
it's
time.
Not great.
It's not great, but it's
fine.
It's okay.
What's it about?
Yeah,
it's about a young kid who develops superpowers. His father is Omni-Man, who is essentially the world's strongest superhero. So think like Superman, basically Superman. Mm. And he is, it turns out, not a particularly nice guy. That's
right. Exactly.
That's yeah, the
it's
whole
one of these,
setup.
It's one of these adult superheroes because it's very
gory.
It's very, very gory, right? Very, very, very gory in places. But then also, it really takes a hard turn into very silly and clowny a lot, right? Like it'll be super, there'll be some absolutely ludicrous costumed hero doing kind of dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I'm going to destroy the Washington Monument.
Right.
You know, and it's, and I guess that's there for some comic relief, but it is, sometimes it's very misjudged. And also, I have a big problem with it in terms of, I don't want to talk about Invincible too much. I just think that I have a problem with the way that these superheroes' powers are sometimes used. So, like, there's a superhero called Atom Eve, okay? And she has the power to manipulate matter, right? She can just change reality, basically. She can just be like, this apple is now made of gold. You know, she can like just make like a air turn into like steel. It's ridiculous.
Right.
Okay? But the thing is, she's, and as a result, she's got this incredibly creative, really interesting superpower that could be used in all sorts of different ways. Okay.
Right.
To fight bad guys. But as in most of these shows, all she does is make squares of pink, like squares of pink in the air that people can just punch through easily.
Right.
And she's like, that's it. That's basically her power.
Yeah.
And it's kind of frustrating because it's kind of such a waste of a really cool ability. And I feel like that's the same thing for these superhero powers in general. I guess it's because they want loads. They just want loads of different superheroes. But every single one is like a one-trick pony. They do one... If they're a hero, they do one stupid thing. They don't. It's just a shame. I constantly think, oh, it'd be so much cooler if it was done like this.
I mean, when are we just going to have a fucking show where it's a bunch of wizards doing cool shit? Because there's so many spells that are cool. And
well,
I mean, Harry Potter,
that.
It's wank because it's a kid's show. I'm just saying, I want to see a gory wizard versus wizard shit fucking
You're
show.
Absolutely right on the Harry Potter combat system, which is basically... like sets, like in the movies, it's basically I do a little sparky sword fight with you with my wand. At least in the books, mostly they're doing like just Expelliarmus. This is pretty much the main spell that anyone uses. But I don't know, it does, that also felt bad to me. Like there is, you're right, so much cool things that can be done.
Like, did you see the Dungeons and Dragons movie, the recent one?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I thought it was really fun.
Oh, it's really fun. So there's a wizard fight at the end of that, a proper wizard fight, where there's like, they're casting recognizable D&D spells, ones that, you know, like this would be the correct spell, or this is a good spell to cast in this instance. And it was like, it made it so much more exciting than just zap, zap. Because like you said, you've got this chance to do something cool, where instead of just a gunfight, it's people creating different Digbys interposing hands or whatever and going at each other with like cool spells and using them in interesting ways. But instead they're just like, oh, they just go pow, but with a wand. You're right. There's a lack of inventive.
I think like the issue I have is that when you have an animation, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And yet they choose to do the most boring shit you've ever seen, which is flying about with, you know, pink fucking lightning bolts and stuff. It's like, give me a break. Like, You know, you're supposed to. It's fine. And anyway, Invincible's great. And Pantheon, by the
way,
I watched
on. It's okay. You literally said you had problems with it.
It's watchable.
Yeah, it's fine.
And I think my other problem with these shows is so little happens. Really.
Oh my god! You know, how many episodes of him and his talking to a girl about their relationship problems? It's like, can you fucking just dump all this shit? Like, it's such obvious filler. It's the same conversation every time. Mark, I know you've got a responsibility, but I thought we'd spend some time together. I'm trying. It's really hard, okay? And then the whole of season three is him and his little brother. Of him and the mum having to rein in the little brother who thinks he's ready. He's not ready. Fuck off! You've done that for five fucking episodes!
Wait, what show is this? Pantheon.
No spoilers, but we'll be
Invincible.
Careful.
Invincible. What's Invincible about? It sounds like it's about a horse.
Were you not listening to the last 10 minutes?
Well, I heard you guys talking about like a guy talking to a girl and stuff like that, but I don't know what that show is actually about.
A superhero. I told you.
I thought you were talking about a new one. Sorry, I got lost.
No. Well, so this other one, Pantheon, is basically about a near future world where a billionaire has invented like a way to upload
Pantheon. I thought that was that game that went really badly.
There was a game called Pantheon that went, I think, badly. I'm not sure, but
or was that called Concord?
Concord went really bad. Yeah,
yeah.
I feel like do you remember Chaos on Netflix? It was like the Jeff Goldblum gods thing.
No, I didn't see that.
I feel like that wanted to be called Pantheon,
but it ended up being called something different.
I've been watching White Lotus season two. I'm almost done. Wow. I think I'm on the last episode.
So you're near the end of season two. So no spoilers again, but who's your favorite character?
What, in season two?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really like any of the characters in both seasons. Like they're all pretty hateful people. No, I can't think of one that I actually kind of like.
But Jennifer Coolidge. It's Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge is great in it. Yeah, she is really good, and her character is frustrating, but she plays it so well. Like
such a breath of fresh air, honestly. In like
the bit that we just saw was the big party at like the mansion.
Okay. Oh, yeah, sure.
With some full frontal dong shots. An Italian man's penis is on display.
Good. Yeah, that sounds right. I mean? Oh, great show. Anyway,
I don't think I could be any clearer. Let me be clear. There's an Italian man's penis.
Minecraft movie star Jason Momoa doesn't allow his kids to play Minecraft.
Why not?
Because he wants them to use their creativity in a different way.
Fuck off. Right. How about that?
So we do other things.
Maybe they can think up some clever retorts to Pyrian Flax's fuck off using their creativity.
Jason Momoa says, phones are new to the world. Everyone was doing just fine before phones. We watch movies together. And that's beautiful.
And what
we watch my movies together. We watch me. My children watch me and worship me on the television. No,
Luce is adding all those extra bits in.
Could you imagine?
That would be
he
crazy.
Says,
that's what he means mother, in his mind, though. That's in his brain, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, of course.
My mother, when I was growing up, wouldn't let me play video games. She was like, get outside, climb a tree, go skateboard.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to have video games.
Yeah, and look how you turned out. Yeah. Maybe she should have just let you play some video games.
If you don't play video games, you become a movie star. That's what he's saying. This is the classic Luddite, we didn't used to have those and we were fine. But, you know, we also didn't used to have vaccines. He's an anti-vaxxer, I'm calling it, Jason Momoa. He's on that fucking train. He's just come through Ludditeville and now he's on his way to anti-vaxxer.
Conspiracy theory land.
Arriving at the moon landings were fake station.
and jet fuel we're cannot melt steel beams.
We're passing through the do your research station where we'll be washed and hosed down, and we're going to head on the flattest part of the track, which is, of course, the flat Earth zone.
Joe Rogan is just boarding the train.
I'm Joe Rogan. If you need anything, just tweet at me. Sorry, zeet at me.
So basically, obviously, Jack Black is the opposite, as his kids. He's been streaming them with live and making videos on YouTube.
Cool.
His kids, you know, playing, and he's been in a bunch of video games. So I'm not even saying Momoa hasn't. Maybe Momoa will do anything he gets paid for.
Yeah, of course.
He's always struck me as that kind of guy anyway. I like him generally, but I like him less after this. I think the thing is, one, my first comment would be, how do you stop him? Right? Because are you basically homeschooling your kids to stop him? Because everyone they're at school with is going to have a mobile phone, right, and stuff like this, right? So good luck stopping them, you know, accessing all this content anyway. Second thing, you're not really preparing someone for the modern world if you deny them access to the things that everyone else, you deny them the experience that everyone else has had. All you're doing is you're making a weirdo. So maybe don't do that. I mean, celebrity kids are already fucking weird enough without having some weird, like, fucking hermit upbringing. Give me a break.
I mean, for me, this is the kind of shit, and I don't want to offend any parents in particular. Okay, because I understand everybody, it's up to you. It's your choice. But I think that there's a lot of people who decide that they are so unique and special that they're not going to do what everybody else is doing. For example, I certainly know people like this whose birth plan, in other words, what the fuck they're going to do when the baby's being born, involves crystals and no drugs and this particular song needs to be playing. And it's all very sort of main character feeling, where everything has to be bent around this ridiculous set of demands. And I think Jason Momoa and people like that saying, oh, no, my children are different. It's like, no, they're not. We're all the fucking same. You're very famous. Your kids are just regular kids and you're fucking them over by saying, no, we shall do more creative things with our time. We shall not be using computers. Just fuck off. You know, let your kids do whatever all the other kids are doing. Otherwise, what the fuck? What kind of childhood is that?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes people say stuff, you know, to sound a certain way or sound better, but in reality, they are not doing the things that they're saying that they're doing.
Oh, that's
as well,
true.
You know,
that's so true. Like, he could just be
some of this stuff. I think you got to take with a pinch of salt because, you know,
do you say pinch of salt or grain of salt?
I say pinch.
I say pinch, but I've heard it with a grain of salt as well.
Take it with a grain of salt.
I prefer pinch.
Take it with a pinch.
A single grain.
One grain. It's too small.
All I'm thinking is, how are you going to get that one grain?
You might get an unlucky pinch and just pick up one grain as well, though.
That's true.
Jennifer Coolidge is in the Minecraft movie. It's this crazy connection. Didn't
she was also Stifler's mom.
Stifler's mom. The original MILF. Got it going on. Yeah,
she was. She is the OG MILF. So
she was a MILF in that fucking movie as well. She was American Pie Jennifer Coolidge. I want to see, if you look at a picture of her from that movie.
How old is she now compared to how old was she in American Pie? She must have been like, what, in her
25 years old, probably.
What? No, she did look like a teenage boy's mom in American Pie, to be fair. Like, she didn't look 25 years old.
Older than she was in American Pie. Sorry. That's what I mean. It's like 25 year old movie, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Sorry. That's, but she must have been in her 30s at the time, because she does look now like she's probably in her 60s.
You reckon? No, Jennifer Coolidge?
No offense, Jennifer Coolidge, but yeah.
I'm a huge fan. She's great. She's 61.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
63.
I think that checks out.
All right, yeah. Sorry, she's 63. Yeah, I'm reading an article that's 2 years old.
So yeah, regarding dating, right. There is a dating app called Tinder, which you might have heard of.
Yeah, I've heard of it, yeah.
They recently released a thing called the Game, which is basically, it allows you to practice your pickup skills on an AI chatbot.
Right.
So you can, basically you're given like, so it's like a whole thing. First of all, I haven't used Tinder in years, but there's like a virtual deck of cards, apparently, with unique scenarios. So it's like, balance persistence with respecting conversational flow.
What?
These are the kind of advice. How? It's like, why are they teaching people to, oh, you know.
I want somebody to go on a Tinder date with somebody and memorize a Born on the 4th of July soundboard and only use quotes from Born on the 4th of July on the date. So you can imagine sitting in a restaurant, somebody just going, hoo-ah, hoo-ah, love it or leave it, hoo-ah. You know, like just constantly Born on the 4th of July.
Excuse me, sir, can I take your order?
Oh, wait, maybe that's Scent of a Woman, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Love it or leave it. Love it or leave it was Born on the 4th of July. I think the hoo-ahs might have been from Scent of a Woman.
The hoo-ahs was 100%, and that was Al Pacino.
It was Al Pacino,
right?
You're right.
Born on the 4th of July.
I just wanted to do
Cruise.
A little trivia, you know, just a little sneaky trivia there for you.
I loved it. I loved it.
Born on the 4th of July definitely had Love It or Leave It in it, though, right? Love It or Leave It was a Tom Cruise line in Born on the 4th of July.
I'll find. Let me. Born on the 4th of July, Love It or Leave. Oh, it's come up. Here it is. Love It or Get Out.
Oh, Love It or Get Out, right. Sorry, I misquoted. Spreading misinformation, sorry.
Yeah.
This stuff is like how to talk. It's like adapt your topics based on responses.
Is this we can learn from this.
Yeah. Build understanding through shared activities or humor.
Well, there we're all looking at pictures of Jennifer Coolidge a minute ago, right?
Stay enthusiastic about shared interests. This is just good tips for general interactions with other humans.
How are you meant to memorize these?
But that, I mean, if you're
the kind of person who doesn't understand how to do a conversation, which is fair enough, there's plenty of people like that. You know, conversation is difficult. It's a lot of the time, it's not something that for some people is instinctive. It's actually very confusing. Fair enough. But I'm saying all of this advice is kind of pointless because you're going to be having to fucking practice so much for this to become second nature, and you're not really being yourself. If you are so incapable of having a conversation that you need to read things like listen to the things that other people say and respond to them, I mean, you're fucked. Like, it's too hard at that point to just try to have a regular conversation. I think you need to give advice to people about how to have conversations with people who clearly can't actually do it. That would be more useful.
So,
but that would just help them in their everyday life generally and not just with dating, which would also be a good thing, right? So basically what you're saying is have some social abilities generally. And apply those to dating.
I don't think they're gonna. That's the thing.
No, but
like, you can't teach people this is how. I mean, for example, my eldest is on the spectrum, right? And I know a lot of other people who are, especially in gaming and stuff like that.
Right.
You can't change them by just practice. You can't be like, oh, no. This is how you do social interaction.
No, but isn't it kind of like it's not practice, but it's almost like rehearsing. Like you're rehearsing like a front. It's not naturally. That's why it's like so exhausting for some people, right? Like,
yeah.
Socializing.
So they do something called masking.
Yeah.
And the most common form of that, especially amongst girls, autistic girls, which is why it's much harder to spot, is that they will just grab a person they like. Like they'll make super friends with one person and do everything the way that person does it. So that person becomes your sort of your cheat sheet. So right. You just copy them. And right. They like dress like them, talk like them, act like them, and they literally become that person. And that's how they get through the day.
I feel like you just described every young girl friendship ever, though. Like that, isn't that how most of them go? Or
No.
I also feel like you've just described role models.
Yeah.
No, so this is different.
Teenagers.
Okay? I'm talking about the fact that even at a fairly young age, masking is way more than just copying someone. I know it sounds silly,
yeah,
but it's because they have literally no idea how to deal with certain social situations.
Right. So they're masking it through taking the lead from someone else who they think can
like
do all
copying
this stuff.
Them, following them around, and basically trying to be as close to them as possible.
Right.
I understand that sounds like a role model situation, but this goes a bit further. This would more be like a superfan version. That's almost like a weird superfan.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Do you know what I mean? It's not just like, wow, that's so inspirational. It's more like, oh, you did that? I'll do that. You know, it's
I do the opposite of that. I try to remove myself from and distance myself from just about everybody all the time.
That's your rebellious nature, though, isn't it? You want to rebel. You're like a OG.
I want to be aloof.
Nirvana grunge. You know, you're like, you ain't taking anything that the man wants you to have.
No, yeah, you know? No, I am firmly not taking anything the man wants to prescribe to me. If you like,
big time rebel.
Yeah, I ran over my phone with my car a couple times.
There you go.
I ran over my phone with my Ferrari a few times just to really stick it to the man.
By the way, I apologize for anyone that knows what I'm talking about and found my description of it completely wrong. I tried my best.
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't want to come across as like, you know, making fun of it or
complicated.
Anything. I'm not.
What you're talking about is a situation that many people struggle with because, you know, there isn't a class on social interaction. And if there were, it would encourage a lot of people to struggle to be authentic about who they are, right? Like if you're constantly, if your brain is constantly on edge if you're in a chill conversation with your friends, the last thing you want to be doing is having your mind racing at 100 miles per hour, like being anxious about everything you're saying and how it's going down and whether you're saying the right thing and what they're saying and analyzing it to fuck. you know, it's not a way to exist, right? To have this fake persona.
Yeah.
Because also in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what if they catch me?
Right.
You know, what if they catch me saying all this fake stuff? And am I somehow scamming everyone, all of my friends, by having this fake personality? It's incredibly anxiety inducing to be like that, right? And I absolutely get like what you're saying about, you know, not being yourself.
Because if you need these level of tips on how to talk to someone of the opposite sex, and it's almost always teaching blokes how to talk to women, right? If you're going to have to train yourself to be, like you said, another person, like it can't last.
That is a thing. That is a thing you can do, though. You can take steps to list, like, you know, consider like little bit snippets of advice can be helpful, right? We're not saying none of this is useless.
The key is they need to demystify the idea of speaking to women in their minds. They need to stop it being this big, I just can't talk to women. Because
not somebody never speaking to a woman then looking to speak to a woman. These are people that have tried on these dating sites and not had any luck, though, right?
I'm not even talking about the dating sites.
This is the point that we're getting to.
Because the dating sites will only get you so far, because then when you meet up, what, you're going to have like little notes written on your hand? You look nice.
I think the idea is that it's some sort of interview or test, which in a sense it is, but in another sense it isn't, right? Because the end goal here is to, you know, have sex with someone,
have a sexy
or whatever, right?
Time.
It does feel like there's already some sort of slightly sinister undercurrent to like what you're trying to do here.
You think sex is kind of sinister? What kind of sex are you having?
Very
well, I think
deviant.
It is kind of sex.
The most dangerous game, sex with Lewis Brindley.
I think you can't, if you start thinking about it too much, you know, it becomes a problem. I think the secret is to just try and be yourself. And I hate to say it because some people's selves are awful.
I would say
be
yourself, but just try to naturally gel with somebody. And if you don't,
be the best version of yourself.
Try somebody else, I suppose.
Don't go into it feeling like you have to cheat.
Yeah.
Right. Just be like, just
be yourself. You know, and if that's not enough, then hopefully there's someone else that
the white lotus.
If it's
enough,
not,
you know,
you'll be alone forever. That's all it is.
Talk about The Apprentice and how you had an SSD fail.
Yeah.
And if they look at you over their nose, find someone else. Do you know what I mean?
God, like, complain at length about Elon Musk. That's a good one as well. People love to hear that.
Complain about how people don't understand what a genius he is.
Just anything. Yeah. Just bring up the topic and just roll with it. See how it goes, you know? You'll find your people.
Elon Musk, right. Your thoughts. No, let me stop you right there. He's a goddamn genius.
Oh, man.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche rote Tafeläpfel aus Deutschland. 2 Kilo für nur 1,79 Euro. Oder Mini-Roma-Rispentomaten 300 Gramm für nur 1,11 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
So, the Ghost of Tsushima. So, you know, the Assassin's Creed Shadows came out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's been getting decent
reviews. I heard it's pretty good. It had a lot of people playing it, at least. And for a Ubisoft game, generally don't see that many people playing their games, I don't think. Or, I mean, they seem very surprised that there was like 4 million people playing it at one point. Which
there has been someone apparently in the game, there has been some sort of like, I don't know, some sort of like, I don't know if there's a way to like deface the shrines in game or something, but certainly
what shrine?
There's some of these shrines that are in the game are also in real life.
Oh. And
some tourists or fans have been visiting these sites.
Yeah.
And
well, we did the same thing, if you remember, Lewis. Remember we went to Paris, France. We did a promotional thing, and we went to some of the locations that feature in the game. We found those rusty bolt holes, if you remember.
We did.
And those were in the game, too. A very famous French site, a famous French alleyway that had
I don't know
really
if they
rusty
were.
Bolt holes.
We were like round the back of one of the, we got lost.
We couldn't find the places, basically.
We couldn't find the places that they wanted us to show.
So we just went to random places. They were interesting places though. Oh boy, oh boy.
we really had the giggles that night.
We did, yeah. It was fun.
It was, because it's like a warm night in Paris. We had record these stupid videos.
Oh, it was nice, yeah.
For Ubisoft. And I remember that very fondly. Anyway, don't cause any grave and unforgivable acts of disrespect towards real life shrines because you saw something in the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, like places in Japan are now banning tourists. It's about time. Gosh. You know, if you're a fucking some TikTok star, if you're Logan Paul or someone who's thinking you might want to go and, you know, slap a Japanese person in the face with a fish, don't do that.
No.
Just don't do that.
Man,
okay.
I can't not think of that Monty Python bit where they're doing the fish slapping dance on the You ever seen that one where they're doing the
don't do that.
Okay, yeah, don't do that.
Don't push people into a canal in either.
No, don't do any canal.
That's what happened
there. God, don't do that.
Yeah. Do you know what? I was trying to watch. I've been watching Kitchen Nightmares a lot, and right. I was trying to find a new show. Yeah.
What about the F word?
No. So I wanted to try and move away from Gordo and reality TV for a bit, because I tried Hell's Kitchen and I found it so horrible,
right?
And so uncomfortable that I just couldn't watch it. He was just mean. Like he's at least trying to help them, I feel, in Kitchen Nightmares, even if it is done for the sake of television and all very staged and everything.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen is just like, come here, you fucking idiot. It's like, Jesus Christ, Gordon, can we, you know, it's like, he's like, roar all the time and just poking stuff.
Yeah.
Throwing dishes on the floor and really getting in people's faces, and the hatred on his face, really angry. I was like, oh, I'm not enjoying this. This isn't fun.
Right.
So I tried to find something else.
Is it too genuine?
No, it's just, I don't even think it's genuine. It's just fucking horrible. And it's all like these American contestants are all trying to backstab each other. And you get all these talking heads where they're like, he's a goddamn idiot. I fucking hate Raj. He's a moron. And then they'll have an argument backstage. Then they come out on the set. They have an argument there. They're throwing stuff. Oh, it's just awful. And they're always fucking with them. They're always fucking with them. Like, all right, here. Come here, dickhead. Here's the new test. You've got to do something completely ridiculous whilst also doing the service. Or, you know, you're here, clean all these squid or whatever. I just thought, this is just uncomfortable. So I tried watching something else.
What about MasterChef?
No.
What about James Gunn's Saturday Kitchen or whatever his name was?
No. We've gone for Walker, Texas Ranger.
Right. Okay, so you're just... Does he cook or you're not?
No, TJ Hooker was the first show that I was watching with on stream with people. And, you know, that was fun.
Watching it on stream.
Yeah.
Man, you should watch all of Father Ted on stream. I think your audience would love that.
No, because that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
We only watch abandoned shit.
Oh, right.
Stuff that, right. Because, I mean, no one's watching
watch some
Texas
old
Walker
episodes
Ranger.
Of Springer or something then.
I mean, that would be, that's actually a good idea.
Yeah, there's a lot
but you
got
to be able to find him. You got to be able to
watch
find
some
him.
Old
either way,
Dr. Phil's or something. That'd be good too.
Oh yeah, Dr. Phil, that would be good. So we watched Walker, Texas Ranger, made it to episode 3, had to abandon it as a show.
Right.
It was so bad. It was unwatchably bad.
Right.
Like, that's the...
just dull. It's Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It is so bad. I cannot believe they made 9 seasons.
What
of
about
it.
MacGyver? You could watch MacGyver. That'd be fun.
So can't find it. Oh. Also, I think probably a bit too good compared to some of the shit. I mean, the fucking TJ Hooker was such a bad show, but it made Walker, Texas Ranger made fucking TJ Hooker look like a masterpiece. It's so bad. And it's casually racist quite often in a way that TV was so bad back then for sort of sound, depending on the race of the person on screen. But add a little sort of sting, a little musical sting. So when an Asian
if there's
person
like an
comes
Asian
on screen,
person,
a gong sound,
it'll go.
Yeah,
Jesus,
it's like unbelievable,
that's unreal.
Yeah, and like he has an uncle who's a Native American. He's like Cherokee. Every time he comes on screen, it's like pan pipes.
Can you imagine that? Imagine you're doing a stream with people, and every time somebody joined the stream, you would play like a little tune based on their ethnicity or whatever. You'd be dead. You'd be gone.
Yeah.
You would be off of the. You wouldn't be allowed to stream it at all anymore. It would be
maybe you'd be on Kick. Yeah. You'd be straight to kick. Yeah.
Straight to kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like watching that, it's just like, God, really? And it's in the South, so of course anyone, you know, there's all, oh, you city folk don't understand how things are down here.
Well,
you know,
so every time one of those guys came on, did they do like a banjo song and the yeah no, or something like that? Or no, it was just normal.
Not unless they are specifically being presented as oh, this guy's real country.
This
you know
guy
what I mean?
Is like, he's loco, yeah.
No, they just get sort of cool cowboy music and stuff.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, it's very Texas. Everybody really is wearing those big hats, and they all have their shirt tucked into their trousers.
Nice.
Like, really tucked in.
Yeah. There's got to be some reason for that, right? The shirt tucked into trousers, like...
It looks smarter, doesn't it? I mean, it's Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, all right, so get a shirt and just leave it hanging out.
Yeah.
And tell me that looks smarter than tucking
well,
it
in. Well, a t-shirt, yeah, I would have leave it hanging out.
Right, but they have, lumberjack style shirts.
Oh, like plaid shirts and stuff.
Look, I don't
They got tuck. Those, dude, they got those shirts with, like, the weird metal thing with the strings hanging off it, like, at the neck.
The bolo tie?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bolo tie,
bolo tie, yeah.
Yeah. So, I feel like...
you need something
it
new.
It is smarter. No, I feel like it is smarter having it tucked in, but it also looks wank.
It does.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it looks smarter.
Well,
and I think their whole thing is
90s men's fashion, like depending where you were, I guess if you're in Texas, it's always been like, you know, cowboy hats and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you're from if you're from like upper state New York, it was just chinos and like those weird. You always saw people that worked in tech wear them, like the polo shirts, you know, that had like the patterns. They look like golfing shirts, and they were always tucked in as well. Tony Soprano kind of rocked the look very well, you know.
Like, I also feel like that shirt that's got like a zip that brings it down to just above the sternum. I don't know what it's for. It's like a zip polo shirt. I fucking hate them.
He'd have like a full suit, but without a tie, or he'd have those fucking chinos and those fucking polo shirts all the time. That was like a big fashion for men in the 90s. And like probably even now, sometimes you still see it. Like if you're at a hotel, an international hotel, and you see, it's mostly Americans that dress like that.
It says country club. That's
yeah,
what
it does
says.
Say country club. You're right. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
They rebooted Walker Texas Ranger.
No way.
With Jared Padalecki.
Who?
Who's from Supernatural. He's one of the brothers in Supernatural. Sam Winchester. You ever seen it?
No.
Great show.
Who?
I actually have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Supernatural, reboot. Where they have to get a shotgun out of the boot of their car and fill it with salt and shoot ghosts for like 13 seasons.
No,
15
never,
seasons.
15 never seasons? Heard of it, I've mate. Never even heard of it.
Supernatural, 15 seasons. It's great. Walker Texas Ranger, the reboot.
It's just
four seasons plus a prequel season.
Is Chuck Norris in the reboot?
69 episodes. No, he's not even considered, I don't think. He doesn't even guest star.
Really?
Yeah. He's not involved. Terrible reviews. It's rubbish.
Yeah, I bet it's fucking awful.
Jared Padalecki, 69 episodes over like 4 years. That must have been exhausting. Oh, what a lad.
Padalecki.
I'm always impressed by these shows that have like fucking 25 episodes in a season, and each episode is like an hour long or something. It's insane.
That's wild.
Like, how do they produce that much crap?
It's incredible.
But this is the modern daytime TV version of that. You're talking about watching TJ Hooker. That's what my nan was watching in the afternoon when she was in the 90s.
Have they rebooted Matlock?
This is not
Matlock.
I think they have. Matlock! I saw
2024 Matlock.
Yes, I think it's
a
woman.
Oh my god!
Yes, a woman.
I think it is.
It's Kathy Bates. Yeah, it's
a gender flipped lead character played by Kathy Bates. Oh my god!
Yeah, I saw an icon for it. I was like, that's not Matlock. I saw Matlock.
Matlock's gone DEI.
Yeah, he's gone. It's gone like woke as hell. It's not. You can't even enjoy Matlock anymore. Unbelievable.
They saw 24 user reviews or critic reviews. It's got 100% approval rating.
Wow.
It is funny how people like Kathy Bates can just dig out a bad show.
She's a great actor.
She is a really fantastic actor. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That sounds like a one to watch. Maybe I'll watch it. I love a procedural crime drama.
So, yeah, I was surprised to find out that Matlock was rebooted. But apparently, maybe it's good, according to Lewis, who just read a review about it.
Kathy Bates.
I watched Conclave this
week. Oh, what a movie.
Which
I
movie?
Thought was
Conclave.
A brilliant movie. It's It's called Conclave. It's about the new Pope being chosen.
Right. You have to elect
and I know Pope. There's been a string of these. I saw the two Popes. I saw something else that was going on in the Catholic, with the Popes.
Young Pope.
And so part of me was like, ugh, do I need to watch this one?
But Pope's Gone Wild Spring Break Edition.
I thought it was.
He read
excellent.
The Bible 50 times.
He's taken off his hassock.
It wasn't like overly dramatic or anything. Like it wasn't overly silly. It was just a good little.
Great performances.
Good little
as
bit,
well,
of, bit of exciting drama
excellent
and great
performances.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Really, really good. Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph Lauren. Yeah, Ralph Fiennes.
Rafe
Fiennes. It is Rafe Fiennes, but I don't know how he convinced everyone it's Rafe. It's Ralph. It's neither, clearly
neither
Ralph. How has he done that? It annoys me every time.
Maybe it's like a regional accent thing.
No.
Rafe.
It sounds like Rafe.
Ralph.
Yeah. Maybe not.
And I don't know, all the others are great as well. John Lithgow's in it. He's great.
Oh, he's fantastic, Remember when he was the Trinity killer in Dexter?
Oh.
Well, shut up, cunt. That's great. One of the best lines. Shut up, cunt.
Shut up, cunt.
He does play an excellent bad guy. Honestly, like such a good bad guy.
All right. Name another film where he was a bad guy. I watched it the other week.
Shrek, the second Shrek, or is it the third Shrek when he's Mr. Lord Farquaad?
All right, but he's on camera in this one.
Oh, Third Rock from the Sun?
Nope. He was just the dad. Third Rock.
Well,
the villain.
Some dads are villains, so
that's true. But I don't believe he was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't name any. But
it is a film starring, in addition, the guy that you may know is Sylvester Stallone.
Do you know him as something else other than Sylvester Stallone?
Yes.
What do you know him as?
Sly. Story.
Right. You're on that basis with him.
You're on personal.
Yeah. So
I call him daddy, personally.
He's a fucking bellend, is what I call him. John Lithgow on camera in a Stallone movie, and Lithgow plays the villain.
Hey, they're doing a Once Upon a Time in Hollywood 2, straight to Netflix, written by Tarantino,
not
but not directed by.
For anyone wondering, it was Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger was this.
Cliffhanger? Really?
Oh my God, I forgot that movie even existed.
Yeah. It's actually not bad.
He's the bad guy in Cliffhanger?
Movie. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's the movie I lost my virginity to.
Really?
No way.
Cliffhanger. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, you were in the movie theater when you lost your virginity.
No, it was on telly. I wasn't 10 years old. It came out in 1993.
So you were what? You were 11 then? You're 2 years younger than me. You lost your virginity when you were 11?
Yeah, no.
That must have been awkward as hell.
I'm just about to come.
His voice breaks at that exact moment.
And I didn't even have Tinder AI bots to train my game.
Right.
You know.
You didn't even have your game trained at the time.
I did not.
Jesus Christ, man. No.
Sean Lithgow.
Too
great.
Much information.
I don't know, somehow he does a great job of being an evil villain, and yet we sort of know that he's a good guy behind it. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Sometimes he's got to have been some other baddies though too. Because
let's have a look.
I only really know him from Third Rock. I don't
really.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember him being in anything.
All these TV references.
Memorable before that.
So he was in Twilight Zone, the movie. That was right. That was a good episode. He was the guy in that. He did the something on the wing.
Wasn't he in Harry and the Hendersons?
Yeah, of course. He was the Mr. Henderson.
That's right. Okay, that's
so
where
he was
I knew
in
him from.
The
then.
World According to Garp, which is a film people probably haven't thought about in a very long time.
No.
It's a Robin Williams film. He plays Roberta Muldoon. That's a good movie. It's a very of its time, but that's a good movie. He was
is he
Footloose.
The bad guy?
No,
that's what we're here to find out.
I don't even know if I've ever seen
Footloose.
2010,
The Year We Make Contact. And I've never seen it. 2010, The Year We Make Contact, the sequel to 2001, he's in that, and he's very good in that. Harry and the Hendersons, he's a good guy. L.A. Story, he's... his scenes were deleted. Memphis Belle, he's just a guy in that. Ricochet, Raising Kane, The Wrong Man, Pelican Brief. Haven't seen it for a long time. Can't remember.
Pelican Brief was a Grisham book, wasn't it? Turned into a movie.
Yeah. It's a
wow.
One of those. One of those movies. Legal ones.
As I haven't heard those. Books. So old.
He's in a film called Johnny Skidmarks.
Nice.
Rugrats in Paris, the movie Shrek. He was Lord Maximus Farquaad. Yes. Let me see. Dreamgirls. God, he was in Dreamgirls.
He was in Dreamgirls. What was that? Beyonce's movie. Or was that a different movie?
No, I don't think so. Wasn't Dreamgirls the one with... Oh, no, yeah, Dreamgirls is that one. I was thinking of Showgirls.
Showgirls is the one with Saved by the Bell. Jesse from Saved by the Bell is a stripper in it.
Yeah, so he's in Interstellar, of course. Daddy's Home 2. Good Lord. Pitch Perfect 3. The Tomorrow Man, not a film I've seen. The Pet Sematary that they remade. Fuck me.
The remake of Pet Sematary. Jeez. Yeah.
He was very good in Killers of the Flower Moon. He was very good.
I've
in
never
that.
Seen that.
I like that Conclave. Movie. It was good
it's movie. A good movie. It's good, very
good,
long.
Good movie.
It was one of those epics where I was like, I can't believe this is actually good.
Wow.
Like, I thought it was going to be shit because a lot of those sort of epic movies have been shit. And it felt like easily slip into just wankery where the director's just tossing off. And this is just not a good movie. This is an actual good movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's David Gran's book, which he put out before The Wager, which I talked about or reading a couple of years ago, which I thought was excellent. I'm sure The Wager will be made into the next movie because Killers of the Flower Moon did The Lost City of Z get done into the movie as well? Yeah, I think so. So he is the sort of a bit of a screen darling, I think, at the moment.
Right.
I think he's on the up for sure. He's 79.
Check it out.
They're always looking for actors to sort of they need at a certain point an actor who can actually act.
Like, I think that's a great podcast. Thank you for joining us, everyone.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, cheers.
We'll see you next time when we do another one of these podcasts. Same time, same place, normally, I guess.
It's pretty normal.
Barring vacations, I guess everybody's got some stuff to do coming up soon, right? Over Easter and whatnot.
No. Because obviously now Mrs. F is away. So next week, we're just going to be chilling around the house.
Nice.
And then the week after that, we are going away for a few days because my mum needed a break.
Right.
I found out that the place that we're staying backs onto a petrol station, which I didn't know when I booked it.
That sounds great.
So I've booked this cottage and it's literally the cottage is touching the petrol station forecourt.
What
that's
so handy. Yeah. Are you gonna have your car?
Yeah, but
and think of all the snacks that you can go and get there too.
No, I don't want it. I don't want just, to be next
you
to
you don't have convenient gasoline. Snacks available to you? What the hell?
No, I'll tell you why. Because the whole point was that we wanted somewhere with a hot tub because that would be fun and we could sit in the hot tub.
Right.
And it's going to stink of petrol. And
you don't
Mrs.
like the
F
smell of it?
Can't even make it. I know. Mrs. F can't even make it. And, which is even worse, my sister can't make it either. So it's just going to be me and the kids and my mum.
Right.
So it's not going to be. It's not.
That doesn't
be great.
Sound like. That doesn't sound like a great atmosphere for hot tubbing generally. So maybe just sack off the hot tub and stay close to the petrol station so you can go get some snacks.
Some snacks.
And you can fill up as well. You know, conveniently. Man. That's nice. Oh
yeah.
Anyway, see you next time. Bye bye.
Goodbye.
Bye bye.